Thank you, Pastor Marty, for having me out here and for Mike bringing me out here. And you know, I'm excited because anything can happen when God walks into the room. And I really enjoyed the worship team. Man, I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed the worship. It took me to a really good place. And I appreciate that. So we serve the ultimate Father. And the thing that God put on my heart, and I hope you understand today, is that the fatherhood of God, I want to share His heart through my testimony because He is a good Father. You know, like Pastor Marty was saying, you know, some of you might have not been a good father, or some of you might not had a good father in your life. And I love what he said. He said, God can make all things new. No matter where you find yourself, maybe you are not a great father, or maybe you didn't have a great father, and it's kind of crept in there and left wounds and left a sting in your past. It doesn't have to stay that way anymore. God makes all things new. So I'm going to read something that means a lot to me, because it's like, if you're looking to get anything from me, I'm the wrong person. But God has the answers. God has whatever you need today. And God can, and if we release our faith, something can happen. And he simply says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted. If you're brokenhearted today, you're in the right place. Amen. If you have a broken heart, you could probably hide it really well. Maybe you don't even know you have a broken heart. You're just so used to carrying that brokenness around. You don't even, it's normal to you. But he's the God of all comfort. And I believe God is going to heal the broken heart today. That today we're going to proclaim that captives will be released. Maybe it's an addiction you're dealing with. Maybe that addiction stems from a wound that you've gone through. Today is your day of release. Amen. We declare in Jesus' name that those doors, those prisoners' doors, will be open. He said that the captives will be released and the prisoners freed. Maybe you've been a prisoner to your own bad decisions. It doesn't have to stay that way anymore, because the Spirit of the Lord is here. He's bringing good news in this house. Amen. And it says, He has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come. Maybe you're mourning today. Maybe there's an ache inside your heart. Maybe because you've lost a father recently. Or maybe because the mourning just comes from not having that figure in your life. Or from bad decisions. It doesn't have to be related to Father's Day. But I do like to make a special mention, because it is Father's Day, there is an ache that sometimes comes because of disappointments and discouragements. That maybe, I was listening to Joyce Meyer recently, and she said, I had to come to a conclusion. And the conclusion was this: I'm never going to have good parents. My parents weren't good parents. She was telling her testimony. But that's okay. I can forgive them. And I can be a good daughter to them. And God can be a father to the fatherless. He can even act. Come on. He created mothers. So he can. God has that mothery nature on the side of him. And it says, He sent me to tell those all who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor is coming, with it the day of God's anger against their enemies. God's going to give it to your enemies. I like that one right there. To all who mourn in Israel, He'll give a crown of beauty for ashes. He'll give beauty for ashes. Maybe you feel like ashes. What do ashes represent? Usually ashes come from fire. Maybe you feel like the fire of life, the fire of trials, the fire of discouragement, the fire of bad decisions has burnt down everything you built. We said He wants to give you a crown of beauty for it. Imagine that. Only God can take ashes, things that have been burnt down in your life, and give you something beautiful in it. He said, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, and festive praise instead of despair. You don't have to despair no more. God says, put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So listen, so you got to take the heaviness off today. Take off the wounds. Open your heart and allow God to clothe you with the spirit of praise. Some of you need a joy like you've never seen it before. You need joy. And he said, they will be like great oaks that the Lord has planted for His own glory. Check this out. When God heals your life, this is what you end up doing. When God builds that testimony in your life, He does this. You will rebuild the ancient ruins, repairing cities destroyed long ago. They will revive them. Listen, do you understand this? So basically, God is saying, I've come here to heal you so that you can heal others. And that's the story I'm going to share with you guys. You can be seated. I know you've been standing for a little while, but my name is Danny Gokey. And I, if you remember or not, we kind of showed the video and it shared with you about how I was on season 8 of American Idol. I took 3rd place that year. The thing I love about God is that He writes the best stories. In Psalm 139, it says that in our mother's womb that we were knit together. And that he knew, check this out, he knew all our days before we even lived them out, as if they were already written into a book. I want to give you good news. Your story has already been written. You have a story. You don't even see it. God's already written all the pages. But then here's the other side of it. In Psalm 27, David said, Lord, do not hand me over to the will of my adversaries. The enemy also has a will for your life. The enemy also has a plan written out for you. He hates you. He's out to destroy you. And maybe for a lot of you, it's like, man, well, man, his book is definitely, he's been reading my story, because his book and his plan seems like it's gotten more of the advantage than God's story. And it doesn't, it may look that way, but it doesn't have to stay that way. The thing I love about God is that he takes all things and he works them out together for the good to them that love him and are called according to his purpose. So the song I originally was going to start out with is called Love Will Take You Places. You guys got that one back out there? I'll sing that one now. The Bible says God is love. So when you say love will take you places, it means God will take you places. Let him write your story. It'll stop you right in your tracks. Take your breath and change your path. To a road you thought you'd never go down. Through highs and lows and endless nights. Through fire and darkness into the light. Bring you to your knees, take your feet right off the ground. Once it takes hold, it won't let you go. But it always sets you free. Love will stand in the place of the one who's guilty. Gives a voice to those who can't speak. It takes the bullets, it takes the fall. Walk on water, make it part. Breathe new life into a broken heart. When you let it, turn the pages. Love will take you places. It'll make you plant your stakes. Pick them up and move worlds away. Living life bigger than you ever dreamed. It'll take all that you got, buck his back like a river that never stops. Running through your heart if you dare believe. Love will stand in the place of the one who's guilty. Gives a voice to those who can't speak. It takes the bullet, takes the fall. Walk on the water, make it part. Breathe new life into a broken heart. When you let it, turn the pages. Love will take you places. Love will take you places. Listen. So take me higher. Take me farther. Take me to where I've never been. Love will stand for the guilty. It gives a voice to those who can't speak. Oh, love will, love will. Won't you let love take you places? Through the fire, through the night. Oh, let love take you places.
Some of those places that love will take you, that God will take you. Thank you so much. Some of those places that God will take you are places you're not going to want to go. And that's kind of the part I want to focus in on today, because the Bible says that his plans and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, his ways are higher than our ways. And this is why God pleads. He says, but come to me. He bids you to come because our small thinking. And for me, the small thinking was simply this. I met my first wife at church. We met in high school, basically. We were still in high school. Never had a girlfriend before her. She was really my first real relationship at 17 years old. And I remember just, this is the one. We ended up dating for about 6.5 years, and we got married. And you know, when you get married, you're like, oh man, this is going to be great. You know, like, we're going to have kids. Like, I was in the ministry right before I got married. I was hired. The Lord told me in my early 20s, probably around 22, that I was going to be in ministry. And I remember him speaking that to me, and I was like, yes, like, that's the ultimate goal. I'm sorry, as a Christian, like, to be in ministry, that's what's up. At least, I mean, for a person who loves the Lord. Like, that's it. It wasn't about the money. It wasn't about anything else. It was about being ministry. When the Lord spoke that to me, so about 8 months before we got married, 6 months, yeah, 7 months before we got married, I ended up going into ministry full time as a worship leader. My pastor had 2 churches, one in Milwaukee, one in Beloit, and they're about 75 miles apart. And I was working in full time ministry, and also to supplement that, I was a full time semi truck driver. Any semi truck drivers in here? This is how some of my truck drivers look. We're super stylish. But you know what? In our first year of marriage, something unexpected happened. Now, Sophia was born with a heart condition. And her heart condition was called, you know, it was congenital heart disease. Part of her heart wasn't fully formed. So she had a surgeon when she was born, a surgeon when she was 7. And when I dated her, we dated for 6.5 years. I was like, whoop, no problems. Everything's fixed. At least, you know, you don't know much as a kid. You just know that I always thought surgery and doctors could fix everything. Well, little did I know that in our first year of marriage, we were going to start and go through some really significant problems. And I remember we went to the hospital in our first year. I remember I came up from stairs. She was a nanny, and so we lived at the place where she nannied. We had our own little space. And I remember coming upstairs one morning, and she was telling me, she said, man, I don't know what's going on. Something's up. Like, my heart, I can't even pick up the kids. My heart's beating really fast. We called the doctor. The doctor said, get in there immediately. We got in. The doctor said, yep, I expected this. You know, people who have, they did a Fontan procedure on her. They said, people who do the Fontan procedure, the procedure is an old way of doing things. They don't do that anymore. So we got to go in there and fix that. And we knew this was coming. Every Fontan patient has to get that fixed. And dude, we broke down and we cried. Because that wasn't in the plan. You ever had like a plan for your life and then all of a sudden something big interrupts it? All right, 3 people? Okay. Man, y'all got some good lives up here. I'm moving to Batavia. Man, it's good. Anyways, little did I know that was going to be the beginning of a chapter of my story that God had written. But it was a chapter that I was going to buck up against. It was a chapter that I was going to fight against. Because remember, a lot of times as humans, we think we know everything. We know exactly what will make us comfortable. But God knows what will make us happy. I knew exactly what would make me comfortable. God, do it this way, this way, this way, this way. And thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross. And boom, that's my life. And that's not his plan. You know, your comfort zone is your worst enemy. Because when you're in your comfort zone, you're ineffective. And that's why I love when God puts a little fire underneath it. And that's when God began to spark the flame. And it was a learning lesson, because at this time, we started taking God at his word. The Bible says that God is a healer. I've seen him heal. And not only that, but everywhere Jesus went, he would heal people. And so in our house, we began to put scriptures all over in our bathroom mirror and on our refrigerator. When you went in the refrigerator, you would immediately see the verse, you know, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can speak to this mountain be moved and it be cast into the sea. And so we had scripture verses everywhere. And we prayed, we declared. I remember even a point, Jesse Duplantis came to our church. You ever heard of Jesse Duplantis? He even came to our church. And he laid hands on her. Like, he all of a sudden was just ministering. He started asking the front row. He was talking about heart's desires, heart's desires. And he even came, and he came up to me and he said, what's your heart's desire? Because I was in the front row. I said that she would get a new heart. And he goes, well, we can do that right now. And he laid his hands on her. The whole church knew what was going through. Even someone got a picture. We framed it. We framed it as a day that we received the healing, and we put it in our house. This is when God healed her. Even though we didn't see the manifestation, we just believe. That's what faith is. You believe something before you receive it or before you have it. But then
A few months later, we ended up being in the hospital. She ended up having a surgery. That messed me up, man. When I got to the hospital, I was so upset. I'll go back to the night before. I remember the night before we knew that the surgery was coming. Here was our prayer. I'll give you even more of an insight. Our prayer was, God, you're going to heal her. And not only are you going to heal her, we believe for this, but we're going to believe that you're going to move the surgery. So when we set the first surgery date, the doctor called. He ended up taking a vacation. He had to move it. I was like, ooh, that's God moving it. Then the second surgery date came. We ended up in the hospital so upset. I was like, I'm upset at God. I'm upset at God. No, God, why? And then the doctor comes in there. I'm so sorry. We were going to, you know, prep you for the surgery today. We had an emergency patient come in. We have to reschedule your surgery. I walked out of that hospital. It's done. It's done. She's healed. I told everybody. Because I'm that guy. I will go all the way on that limb. And I was telling her parents. Her parents were looking at me sideways, though. Like, you know. I just like, she's healed. We told God to move the surgery. If he would move the surgery, she's healed. Well, the third reschedule of the surgery, guess what? We were in the hospital again. This time it wasn't a joke. Man, it messed me up because, you know, sometimes we try to use our faith for our own desires. And we forget the prayer that Jesus prayed in the garden. Not my will, but your will be done. I think the key to remaining from disappointment, the key from having our own ways, is to always say that prayer. Not my will, but your will be done. And maybe another key is, God, open my eyes to see how you see it, not how I see it. I'm not saying it was a perfect will for her to go through this, but I will say this, God used it. I don't understand all the aspects of it. But when you get yourself, when you're in a situation, when you're in a trial, when you're in a difficult situation, the key is not to set yourself and stand firm just on your own way, but to open your heart, surrender. You know, this is the ultimate sign of surrender. You know, if you're in a war, if the enemy sees you like this, he knows you surrendered. The key, I believe, is to remain in that position of surrender. And I ended up going through, so we ended up in the hospital that day. They ended up having a surgery on her. It was supposed to take 4 hours, took 12 hours. They get her out, they put a pacemaker in, they cut out part of her heart, and they put a artificial valve in there. And I remember when they pulled her out, I had a little bit of interaction with her, and the doctor said, we need her to rest, and I went to my room. Well, that next morning, they ended up calling me because her heart failed. They had to resuscitate her, and the doctor told me, said, there's nothing we can do, but we need to put her on an artificial heart till she's got to be on a transplant list. Well, in my mind, because I'm so believing God for a miracle, I'm like, well, this is exactly what's got to happen. It's got to get worse before it gets better. I call all my friends. I call all the churches, and I start saying, we're going to pray. We're going to believe, and we're going to pray that God's going to do something big. I wasn't giving up on my faith. I wasn't giving up on God and what I thought was God's will at that time. And I ended up, you know, we ended up praying at the hospital. We were praying at the hospital to the point where we were freaking them out because we were in the waiting room just like a bunch of Pentecostals. We're a little bit weird, you know, a little bit, but it's a good weird. And to the world, they don't understand it. The Bible says the things of God to the people of this world, they don't discern them. They don't get it. It's foolishness, the Bible says. And so I remember that day, I knew there's like 100, over 110 people were going to come out. So I remember saying, you know, we're freaking around the hospital. I ended up picking a spot to pray, and it was the parking structure of the hospital. And we went to the parking structure that night, and a bunch of us gathered out there, and we began to pray. Now, let me tell you this. Before this night, we were seeing miracles. Kids were seeing angels. And not kids that weren't little kids. And they were describing these angels that other kids were seeing. And it was the same description of the angels. There was angelic activity going on. Not only that, but people saw us praying. So they began to ask us if we could pray for their kids. And while we were in the hospital, we ended up seeing 3 miracles. We ended up seeing kids that were, there was a kid who had drowned. We ended up praying for them. The next day they came out of a coma, brain dead, the coma. They thought it was a death sentence. Another kid was in an accident. The same thing came out. I can't remember the third case. It was so many years ago. But I just remember like seeing miracles. And that night while we were praying on the parking structure, we were worshiping. We were declaring scriptures over Sophia saying that God would give her a new heart. That this was not, you know, this was going to end and God would get the glory and that
all these different things. And at the end of that night, I remember it was July 3rd, 2008. After we were done praying, someone said, look. And we look in the sky, and there's a heart-shaped cloud in the sky. We're praying for a heart, and we see a heart-shaped cloud. Wasn't a cloud in the sky, except that heart. Boom. Just like that. Dude, we broke down. We cried. I knew it. I knew that, man. I was like, wow, this is the miracle. But I remember I sensed something different when I saw the heart. I knew in my mind, I'm like, oh, that's her heart. That's a miracle. She's given her a new heart. But in my heart, the exact impression I got was, whoa, that's God's. It was God's revealed love for people. I can see it now, and I'll explain more how that comes into play. But I remember the impression it was God's heart for people. I really felt a sense of satisfaction, and that his heart bleeds for people. And he's concerned about people. God knew already what was going to happen. Well, a few days later from that, I found myself, it was the night before, it was July 8th in the evening. And I remember we prayed so much, I didn't know how to pray anymore. I called a close friend of mine, my best friend, and I called like a mentor of mine. I asked him to come to the hospital. They got there about midnight, and we just began to pray for Sophia. I remember the doctors were concerned. There were some issues going on, and we just began to pray. I prayed so much. You ever pray so much you don't know what to pray anymore? It's like, dude, God, I can only ask you 7 million times one thing. You know what I mean? Like, I can't say it. If I knew German, I would say it. You know? I don't know German, man. So, I mean, here's again in English. Please help. You know? And I remember at that point, I started singing what I did best. I just sang. And it was at that point when I just began to sing my favorite worship songs. Like, your love never fails and never gives up and never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up and never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up and never runs out on me. Your love. I sang songs like that. I remember when the doctor came, she said she's crying. Now remember, Sophia was in an induced coma, so she was just always underneath and just not alert, and tears were coming down from her eyes. And I remember at the time I was like, wow. I went home that night. Well, the next day the news hit me hard. 7:30, I got home about 3:30 in the morning. 7:30 in the morning, the doctor called me and said, you need to come in. There's nothing we can do. We've done everything. Come say goodbye. Man, that hit me like a brick. I remember it rattled me so hard. I called everyone I knew. We went to the hospital. And I remember we were just, what do we do? You know, it was almost like the troops were just, had no strength. So we pressed in again and we began to pray. We began to pray from the point of, I remember I got there about 7:30 in the morning. I begged and I cried and asked the doctor to do one more procedure. I said, and he was crying too. He's like, we've tried it all. We've tried it all. I said, do anything else. And anyways, they ended up wheeling her back in after that unsuccessful procedure. And I remember we prayed from that time all the way to about 11 o'clock at night till I signed the papers. And I remember people were in my ear, they're saying, you got to believe for a miracle. Don't sign the papers. God can do anything. But then I just looked at them. The doctor checked her 3 times. They said, there's no sign of life. And she had even turned gray about 5 o'clock that afternoon. And I remember I looked at him. I said, God doesn't need this artificial heart. If he's going to raise her from the dead, I don't need to help him. And I just signed the paper. And it just like, the floor dropped out from beneath my feet. And I didn't. What do you do? Because, man, you know how many years of prayer we invested in that? And I feel like there's people here who probably have the same, not the same story, but the same kind of petition. You've been praying for the same exact thing, the same exact thing. God, why? Why does this keep happening? Why does this person keep doing this to me? Why did that person touch me improperly? Where were you when that happened? You know, I don't understand everything, but I do know this, is that when you hear the rest of the story, you'll see the Father heart of God. God, at times I don't get why he doesn't prevent things, but he makes you stronger through them. And he makes you very effective. And he takes your story. If you're like Job, why didn't God help Job? God, dude, listen, Satan came up to God and said, oh, he only likes you because of what you've given him. He only likes you. And then he said, fine, take everything he's got. But he won't. He's mine. Satan comes and destroys everything. And then he comes around and Job said, you know, naked I came into the world, naked I will leave. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job passed first number test. Always praise. But then Satan came back to God and he said, God, the reason why he hasn't cursed you yet is because you know, his own life is valuable. You touch his life. Now that's when that's going to happen. You know, God was in there the whole time, but look at how the story of Job has changed so many people's lives because Job didn't think of his own thoughts. Although he was very hurt, he trusted the Lord. I'm going to do a song right here. It's called Tear Your Heart to Beat Again. And this song, is that the key? Oh, wonderful. So maybe this is you, and I hope let this song minister to you because listen, you got to understand, yesterday's a closing door. You don't live there anymore. Say goodbye to where you've been. You got to tell your heart to beat again. Whatever you've gone through in the past, it's time to take the pain out your heart and put it in the hands of God. And I can't wait to share that part of the story with you because the story is not done yet. But the story could have ended there if you don't put the pain in the right place. And this is the message I want to get out to you. If you've dealt with pain in your life and if you haven't properly dealt with you, it has stopped you and it has halted you from your destiny. But you don't need to stay there anymore. You can put it in the hands of God. Amen. Shattered like you've never been before. The life you knew in a thousand pieces on the floor. And words fall short in times like these. When this world drives you to your knees, you think you're never gonna get back to the you that used to be. Tell your heart to beat again and close your eyes and breathe it in. Let the shadows fall away. Step into the light of grace. Yesterday is a closing door. You don't live there anymore. Say goodbye to where you've been and tell your heart to beat again. Just let that word wash over you. It's alright now. Love's healing hands have pulled you through. So get back up, take step one. Leave the darkness, feel the sun. Because your story's far from over and your journey's just begun. So tell your heart to beat again and close your eyes and breathe it in. Let the shadows fall away. Step into the light of grace. Yesterday is a closing door. You don't live there anymore. Say goodbye to where you've been and tell your heart to beat again. Let every heart break and every scar be a picture that reminds you who has carried you this far. Cause love sees farther than you ever could. In this moment, heaven's working everything for your good. So tell your heart to beat again and close your eyes and breathe it in. Let the shadows fall away. Step into the light of grace. Yesterday is a closing door. You don't live there anymore. Say goodbye to where you've been and tell your heart to beat again. Your heart to beat out.
tell your heart to beat again. Amen. I think the song is prophetic. It is prophetic because I believe God is singing that over you guys today. Especially the ones who are broken, the ones who are hurting, the ones who know how to put on a face. The song's for you. God is saying, get back up. Take step one. Leave the darkness, feel the sun. Because your story's far from over and your journey's just begun. No matter how old you are, if you're not dead yet, there's still more destiny to be lived out in your life. It's never too late to become what God has intended you to be. You hear that? I'm going to say that again because I know that's bringing healing to people's hearts. It's never too late to become all that God has intended you to be. You might have made so many mistakes, or maybe a lot of mistakes were made against you from parents, from loved ones, from broken dreams, broken families. Maybe a sickness has destroyed your life. It's not too late. You know, if sickness is the key, let me stay on this one. If sickness is the key, there's a story of a man named, I think, Nick Vukacek. Nick was born with no arms and no legs. I'm going to tell you this. He has not allowed that to break him down because he's got a whole testimony on that, how it could have destroyed him. But now he's mouthing and praising and doing the bidding of the Lord and sharing his testimony all over. You know, it's God can repair anything. So let me share with you how he repaired my story. So we started watching American Idol right before all this started happening. And I remember she watch the show all the time. I couldn't watch the show. She was a huge fan because I drove a semi truck during the day. And at night, I was a praise and worship leader for two churches that my pastor had. And so I stayed pretty busy. And we bought a theater just like this too. We had a theater and we had church. It was really cool. This is reminding me of it. Anyways, and it was really cool to see what God was doing during that time. But finally, she ended up passing. I told her I was going to try out for the show. She ended up passing away 1 month before the show. Now people ask, why did you try out for the show? Man, because God writes the best books. I didn't want to try out for the show. Trust me. You know, when we have it our way, we want to be comfortable, healed, perfect before we do anything that God wants us to do. Well, God, somehow when you're weak, he's made strong and he likes that. And he's able to move very powerfully through weakness. And so in my weakness, I was 28. It was the last year I could do it. I decided to keep my promise and go try out for the show. Well, when I tried out for the show, I made it past the first round. Woo, faith began to rise in my heart because you understand, after she passed, I kept the faith. I was like, I'm keeping the faith. I'm believing God's going to take this and turn it around. Even at the funeral, I stood up there and I didn't want to do this because I believed for that whole week she was going up to the funeral that she was going to be raised from the dead. And I know you think I'm funny, but man, when you have faith, it never turns around and goes dry. I believe that faith is being activated in this area of my life. The faith seeds that I sown there are now being used there. But we believed and we prayed for a whole week that God would raise her up and that his glory would be seen. And I remember when I led worship for her funeral, I almost didn't make it. I'll tell you, I felt such a heaviness. I couldn't even cry at her funeral because you ever just go numb? I was numb. And I remember when they sat down and when we finished worshiping and she didn't come back to life, they closed the casket. And I was able at that term to say, all right, it's over. She's not coming up. And at that time, I still had faith inside of me, you know, by the grace of God. I got up there and I shared the testimony of all the things that happened in the hospital. And I shared the testimony of the heart in the sky. And you want to know exactly what I said? I pointed, there's 1,500 people there. I pointed them and said, this is not over yet. It's not over. And that took every ounce of faith within me to say that, because you understand, I already felt like God beat me up. I already felt like he kicked me out. I felt like, dude, I felt he was angry with me, but I had to believe. And during this time, I was warned, do I try for the show? Well, I tried out. I kept the faith. People were hugging me. I knew the darkness was coming. But I kept the faith, and I ended up making past the first round. Faith rose up. But I remember 2 months after the first round, right before my second audition, I remember I opened my eyes one morning, and I felt something shift in the atmosphere. I don't know how to explain it. We're spiritual beings. We can sense things in our spirits. And I just remember something had shifted when I opened my eyes. And I spoke out loud, which was a mistake. I said, this is not good, when I should have been speaking more faith. But thank God for his grace. It's not all about me. It's all about him pulling me through. Because when my faith failed, he had faith to pull me through. And I fell into a deep depression. I literally felt like, because I started questioning everything I believed. I was like, God, I can't dry. It's too dry. I can't keep believing you for something that I just don't see any results. I've tried. I don't feel better. I'm not better right now. And then when I fell into the depression, it's almost like I was falling down a pit. And when you're falling down a pit, I was trying to hang on to something, but I couldn't catch anything. And I fell down, and I just kept falling. I felt like, well, from that moment, I tried out for my second audition. I made it. Third audition, I made it. Fourth audition in front of the judges, I made it. Hollywood, I made it. Hollywood week was one of the worst weeks of my life. Because I put on the face for the camera, but I did not sleep almost that entire week. Because I literally felt under such oppression and such attack of the enemy. I couldn't keep my mind to be still. Finally, when I got to top 50, I made it to top 50. I literally said, God, I was so jacked up, I didn't like life. My view on life was poison because I allowed the bitterness of the situation to poison my heart. And while and somebody needs to see, your heart is your real lens. You understand that? The way your heart is how you see and how you view life. And during that time, I've had a good life. And I allowed the bitterness, the seeds, and the poison of that situation. I was angry at God. I was upset at God. It began to poison my heart where I looked at American Idol as God setting me up to make me look foolish in front of people. It's crazy what you will think when your heart is bitter. The Bible says, above all things, guard your heart because out of it flows the issues of life. Do you not understand? If you don't guard your heart, the enemy poisons it. It's almost like a spring. Your life, if the Bible actually says it is a wellspring of life, if the spring is poisoned, everything is poisoned. If the root of the spring is poisoned, everything's poisoned. And for me, that's what it was. And so I made it to top 50 and I came down and I said, God, I'm angry at you. I'm mad at you. I know I'm not supposed to be, but this is how I feel. And I said, you got to do something. I said, I refuse to go on that show looking like a fool. So even though I was mad at God, I turned to him. And it's okay. Never not turn to God. Because the moment you stop turning to God, you have cut off your solution. You've cut off your answer. I'm so glad that the grace of God was able to keep me plugged in because I knew God was the answer. It was almost like Peter, when Jesus turned around to all the disciples, he said, unless you drink my blood and eat my flesh, you can have no part of me. Peter was like, huh? We're going to cannibalize you? Well, but Jesus, and the Bible says, all his disciples turned away except the 12. And Jesus turned around to the disciples and said, aren't you going to go too? And Peter said, where would we go? You have the words of eternal life. That's the kind of tenacity you have to have. It don't make sense, but I got nowhere else to go. And that's where I ran to him. And God began to speak. And here's a key I want to share with everyone. This key, I believe, it set me free. It has the power to set you free. The keys of the kingdom. The Bible said he'll give us the keys of the kingdom. And the gates of hell cannot prevail. This key was simply this. As I began to cry and plead out to God. You know, this verse I kept seeing. It was Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I'm God. I mean, even to the point where this girl, this verse is in me, this girl comes up to me at church who I'd never met. She goes, I know I don't know who you are and I'm so sorry, but God told me to give this to you. Please don't think I'm crazy. She gives it to me. She walks away. I'm like, you're crazy. You know? And I open up the piece of paper and guess what it says? Be still and know that I'm God. I knew God was speaking. Hope began to rise in my heart again. And I remember I went home and I was like, all right, if God's going to speak this, God will never ask me to do something that he doesn't give me the power to do. So I'm going to do this. So I get home and I'm like, this is all right. Here we go. Be still. I know you're God. Nothing. I didn't feel any different. Nothing changed. I'm like, oh, all right, there's got to be more to this. So I look in the Hebrew of the, it's a Hebrew translation. Guess what it said? And here's the key. Listen, this is going to set some people free. I really believe if you grab onto this. It was stop fighting with God. Number two, let go. Number three is the one that got me. Cause yourself to let go. In other words, force yourself to let it go. And I saw it at that moment. And I was like, he's asking me to let this go. Once again, I didn't cause myself to be in that situation. I just happened to be in it. Number two, you didn't answer my prayers. Number three, now I have to do another thing. Man, it's the heart of the Father. He does what's best for us, not what's most comforting to us. He does what makes us the most happiest. I sat at the edge of my bed, tears in my eyes, and I pictured myself being buried with her. As they buried the casket, I pictured myself hanging out because I was hanging on so tightly, burying me with it. And as they're throwing dirt over, I pictured a hammer in this hand.
And I begin to make these out loud declarations. I refuse to let this poison my future. Boom. I would hit my hand. I refuse to allow this to keep me in a dark place. Because I was in such a dark place, I didn't want to stay there. You understand? It's darker there than it is just being obedient and do it God's way. You know? We can hold on and keep a fit, or we can do it His way and be super happy. Again, I refuse to let this destroy my destiny. Boom. I kept saying these things out loud, and it's almost like even though I wanted to hang on, I couldn't because I forced it. I broke my hand. I can't hang out even if I tried. And as I pulled it away, something began to happen. And it wasn't immediate. Immediately I started feeling the pressure relief, but it would come back again. And then I would do the same exercise. No, I refuse to let this destroy my future. I refuse to let what that person did to me. Maybe it's you. I refuse to allow how that person touched me improperly my entire childhood to make me a bitter person. Maybe for someone else, I refuse to let how my husband or wife treat me. I refuse to let that give me a poison outlook on my life. Maybe that's what you got to do, and that's what I had to do. And as I began to keep doing that and making those declarations, it was like God took a cork and pulled it off my heart, and all the toxic emotions ran through. You don't understand. It was like I was a new person. I didn't want to go on American Idol. Now I was very eager and very excited to go on the show on American Idol. Because God had given me a new heart. Please, if you don't hear anything else, hear that. You got to let go of the things that maybe your earthly father did to you. You got to do sometimes what Joyce Meyer said. You know what? I'll never have a good earthly father, though the father that I desired. But I'm going to honor and respect the father that gave me life. And I know I have the ultimate father in heaven. You know, Joyce Meyer even made the statement that shocked me. She told her, you guys got to understand, she told her testimony. The things that her father would make her, you know, she was sexually abused by her father. She was raped over 200 times by her father until she was age 18. Her father would give her explicit material and have her look at it and ask her, how does that make you feel? Her father would make her, as a child, watch her mom and dad through the keyhole do things adults should do. And then tell her afterwards, how did that make you feel? Her father used to tell her, you need to beg me to come to the store. He would manipulate her because she didn't want to go with him anywhere because she knew what was going to happen. And her father would make her do that. Up to the age she was 18 and finally got out. But look at how God has used her story. Look how God has turned it around. You know what she said? This statement boggled me. Because she goes, where was God when that happened? I got saved at 9 years old, she said. Where was God when that happened? Why didn't He hear my prayers? She goes, I'm convinced. She said, I'm glad that happened to me. She said, I'm a stronger person. I'm more effective. She's in her, I don't know, 70s right now. And she has looked at her situations. Thank you, God, for allowing that to happen to me. She has a worldwide ministry that's so effective. And this is the things, this is what I'm trying to say. The Bible says, when you go through trials, count it all joy. You know, it hurts to go through it, but God wants you to know He needs to use your story. When I got onto the stage of American Idol, you don't understand, I shared my testimony. When I shared my story of loss, I didn't even get to the other side yet. I just shared of how I went through a loss and how I was going to persevere with God and God's going to help me out. And my inbox got flooded with emails. You don't understand. I had so many, the number one thing, that email that comes to my inboxes on my Facebook and my Twitter is people who dealt with suicidal thoughts because I was so close to taking my life during that time. I wanted to end it all because I thought that was the answer. If you've been entertaining thoughts of suicide, let me tell you this, that is not the answer. It is not the answer. Never, ever, ever entertain those thoughts. Because if I would have done that, there's so many chapters of the book that I would not have seen. There's so many good chapters. You understand this? God has done such a work in my life. He's made me forget the sting and the pain of my past. And that's the word He wants to get you. You'll always remember things, but you don't have to remember the sting or the pain. You got to understand, God has a hope and a future. And I wrote this song. This song, again, so when I went on the show, specifically a lady came and she wrote me an email. She said, I was going to take my life the night that you were on the show. And she said, my husband took his life 4 months earlier and I was done. She said, I was in a room with the weapon in hand. She said, I heard a man crying in my room. She said, when I went, I was intrigued by it. I went to the room, I saw you. She said, I got down on my knees. I cried, I gave my life to the Lord. This is time. Little did I know. Amen. Little did I know that my story would be the story that would help others get through their story. Your story is going to help someone else get to the end of the story. This song came out of it.
I've been running through a brain that I thought would never end. Trying to make it on faith in a struggle against the wind. I've seen the dark and the broken places. Whoa. But I know in my soul, no matter how bad it gets, I'll be alright. There's hope in front of me. There's a light, I still see it. There's a hand still holding me, even when I don't believe it. 'Cause I might be down, but I'm not dead. There's better grace still up ahead. After all I've seen, there's hope in front of me, yeah. Ooh, oh, oh. There's a place at the end of the storm you'll finally find, where the hurt and the tears and the pain don't fall behind. You open up your eyes and up ahead there's a big sun shining. Right then and there you realize you'll be alright. There's hope in front of me. There's a light, I still see it. There's a hand still holding me, even when I don't believe it. I might be down, but I'm not dead. There's better days still up ahead. Even after all I've seen, there's hope in front of me. Yeah, yeah. Ooh, oh, oh, oh. There's a hope still burning. I can feel it rising through the night. If my world's still turning, I can feel your love here by my side. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Oh, oh.
Come on, he's still our hope, amen. Come on, there's hope rising in here.
Hey, you're my hope. I still see it. Your hands are holding me. Even when I don't believe it. Oh, I got to believe. Said I got to believe. Oh, 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 oh.
Have hope.
Say like this. La 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 la.
You do it. Come on. You sound good. You know, so here's the best part of the story. The best part of the story is that when I got on the show, my life was able to transform other lives. Not anything that I did, but the work that God did. I came through the show. So many people's lives impacted. A music career, something I always wanted that I gave up on, God created in my darkest moment. Not only that, a ministry was born called Sophia's Heart. Did you guys see the ministry up there? Sophia's Heart? Hey, that's one of the stories that, wow. I've always loved helping people. Like, that's just a passion that God has implanted in my heart. It's His, you know, those are His passions. When you get close to Him, you become more like Him. You start doing things He does. Helping people is one of them. That building that you saw was given to me, 77,000 square feet, given to me for free. Dude, the guy didn't even know me. how I started Sophia's heart. Now, I was broke, had no money in the bank. When she passed away, we ended health insurance through her job. There ended up being a death stipend on the insurance policy that, again, wasn't a lot of money, but I knew I couldn't use it for myself. I planted in the ground, gave it to God. God ends up giving me a building. We've taken over 100 families off the street since our conception. Drug addicts with their children come in and stay with us. You see those rooms? Did you see how pretty the rooms were? $12,000 a room. God gave us a vision. When you do it for the least of these, you do it for Him. He takes it very personal how we treat people. He said, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I had nowhere to go, you gave me a place to stay. And they said, God, when did we do this for you? He said, when you did it to the least of these, you did it for me. All I got to say this, before, and I'm going to do one more song, but all I got to say is this. Get through your system. Get through your trial. Get through it. Know that. Don't stay stuck there. Place the pain in God's hand. Forgive who you need to forgive. Let go of what you need to let go of. Restore what needs to be restored. And make right what needs to be right, especially between you and the Father. Stay close to Him. He's more than you think He is. He's not out there trying to get you. This next song I ended up writing is a song that I wrote from this perspective. And it's my newest single on radio. But I pray it sets people free, because they got to know He is a Father. He's a Father to the fatherless. He's a healer to the broken. So let me share this song. This is called More Than You Think I Am. He always think of somewhere on a mountaintop, but never think behind bars. You'd be amazed the places that I go to be with you where you are. So forget what you've heard, what you think that you know. There's a lot about me that's never been told. I'm more than you dream, more than you understand. Your days and your times, we're destined for our dance. I catch all your tears, burn your name on my heart. Be still and trust my plan. More than you think I am. Oh, more than you think I am. Oh. Rumor has it there's a gavel in my hand. I'm only here to condemn. But let me tell you secrets you've never known. I think of you as my best friend. So much has been said, even done in my name, but I'm showing you now who I really am. I'm more than you dream, more than you understand. Your days and your times, we're destined for our dance. I catch all your tears, burn your name on my heart. Still and trust my plan. I'm more than you think I am. Oh, more than you think I am. Oh, listen. Let me open your eyes to see the heart of me differently. Oh, come closer than you ever been. Let me in like never before. Give me every broken part, wounds and scars, who you are, and hide it in me, and you will see. Oh, I am more than you dream. Oh, 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 oh. Your days and your times, we're destined for our dance. I catch all your tears, burn your name on my heart. Be still and trust my plan. I'm more than you think I am.
than you think I am. Whoa, more than you think I am. Whoa, 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 more than you think I am, more than you think I am. He is jealous for me. Love's like a hurricane. I am a tree. Come on, let's worship. Bending beneath the weight of His wind and mercy. All of a sudden, I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory. And I realize just how beautiful You are and how great Your affections are for me. Oh, how He loves us so. Oh, how He loves us. How He loves us so. Come on, just lift your hands and worship in this place. Oh, we bless Your name, Jesus. Come on, let Him heal your broken heart. Just heal the broken hearts and reveal the Father heart of God. Come on, He's jealous for me. He is jealous for me. Hey, love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath weight of His wind and mercy. Come on. Oh yes. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful You are and how great Your affections are for me. And oh, how He loves. Come on. Oh, how He loves us. How He loves us. So, come on, say He loves us. Say He loves us. Oh, how He loves us. Oh, how He loves us. Oh, how He loves. Said He loves us. Oh, how He loves us. Oh, how He loves us. Oh, how He loves. I want to appeal to you today. If you are here, and maybe what I've spoken to you today has really registered or really resonated with you, would you come up front? If you want, would you come up front? We're just going to worship together. I want to be able to pray with you guys. Just please step out. If you've gone through situations that are hard, honey, I'm going to have you come up here. I'm going to have Pastor Marty, would you be able to come up here as well and help pray? If you want to see a new beginning, like Pastor Marty had said from the beginning, I love that you, it's so on point. You can have a new beginning today. A new beginning starts now. Remember what I said. It's never too late to become all that God has intended you to be. You might have messed up. You might be the reason why you're going through everything that you're going through. Or it could be there's a person in your life that hurt you so deeply, wounded you so deeply. It could even be you think God has wounded you so deeply. Can I tell you this? I've thought those same things. I'm like, God, You could have stopped it. You could have stopped it, but You didn't. Where were You? But just like Joyce Meyer said, I stand here today. I'm a better man today, going through what I've been through. And I gotta share with you, if you want restoration of what's been lost, come up front. We're going to pray with you. Restoration. My wife right here, I got remarried. This is part of my restoration.
We ended up getting remarried. I ended up getting remarried. She has a heart for the Lord. She's not, listen, you know, some people may say, well, man, you know, the thing that I dealt with was like, God, how can I find a wife? They're just, my whole story is based on my first wife. She doesn't stand in the shadow of my first wife. It's almost like she's taking the baton and she's now running forward with it. God has chosen her. I'm going to have her say a corporate prayer over you guys. I love my wife. She's a prayer warrior.
Yeah, do that. You, there's some, I want to say young people, but you could be in your 30s and your 40s, and you understood every word that he was saying today. Something just jumped out of my heart when he began to talk about that, about Joyce Myers, what she went through. And maybe you're here today. Maybe you've been through something like that. Maybe you've been so disappointed. Maybe you've just come to a curve in a road. I don't want you to miss this moment today. I feel such a tug from heaven right now that if you're still sitting in your seat where you're at, you need to step out right now. Come down. I want everybody that's up here, come forward just a little bit, because we're going to make some more room here. Come on. Let's take 10 more seconds. You come on down here. Last set. I want you just to go ahead and begin to pray. And I want you to lay hands on people. I sense an incredible anointing on your life to see people set free. Come quick. Come quick. This is a moment right now that you might not get back. And you don't want to miss this time. God is going to restore your life. Go ahead. Listen.
Father God, we just thank you that you are in the midst of us, God. We can feel your presence in the atmosphere, God. Lord, I just thank you that your gentle hands are going in inside of each individual here and just pulling out ever so gently the hurts, the disappointments, the anger inside of each one of their hearts. God, right now we just thank you for the work that you are doing in them, God. Lord, I declare in the name of Jesus that these people will look brand new walking out of here. They will look like new people, God. We declare that the Lord is good and his word is true. And right now we just declare freedom over these people. Freedom in the name of Jesus. Freedom. Hearts healed right now in the name of Jesus. Hearts healed right now in the name of Jesus. Hearts healed right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father God, that you are healing the hearts here, God. We thank you, God, that you are healing the hearts here, Father God, that you are setting these people free. Free for your glory. Free to share, God. Share what you have done in their lives, God. We thank you, God. We thank you, God, that this congregation, God, will look holy unto you, God. Holy unto you. Holy unto you, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. Come on. Lift up your hands. Come on. Sing it. He loves me. Come on.
Said he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves. Said he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how, come on, he loves. Come on, said he loves me. He loves me. Said he loves me. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves. Come on, it's a new beginning. It's a new day. Said he loves me. Oh, how he loves me. Yeah. Oh, how he loves me. Yeah. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. One more time. Said he loves me. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves. And he is for me. Our God is not against me. Oh, for you. Oh, and if God be for you, who could ever stand against you? It's a new season. Today is a brand new day. Come on, a fresh anointing. Fresh anointing is flowing your way. Flowing your way. A season of power. A season of new beginning. A season of a healed heart. Season of restoration. Season of restoration. Oh, 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 come on. It's your season of restoration in this house. A season of new. He said, behold, I make all things new. Come on, all things new. Why don't you walk in it? Why don't you step in it? Why don't you walk in it? Oh, he's saying, come close, come close, come close, come close, come close.
God's heart breaks for whatever breaks yours, okay? It wasn't for you guys to come out of this strong. You guys have to be strong. You have to walk through this, okay? There's a light at the end of the tunnel, okay? In the name of Jesus, we bless you now. We bless you now. We pray peace over you. We pray peace over you. Count it all joy for the crown that we have. Okay?
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Come on, put your hands together one more time this morning for the Lord. This may seem strange and even challenging for you, but there is an anointing this morning for God to heal sick bodies. And I know some of you you're struggling with some things in your life. In fact, I want just to make a path through here. Could you all do that? Just make a path through here. If there is a heart condition, a true heart condition, if you have cancer, if there's an issue in your life, I want you to come right now. Don't you wait 1 minute. Your act of faith right now will move mountains. Come right now. Come right up here. Stand up here. Don't make her come alone, Chris. Come on, Sterling. That's great. Come right now. Begin. I want you to begin to pray over them. Come on, lay hands on them. You guys got to make room. Let them come right up through here. We're going to pray. And as soon as they get done praying, you're going to go off to the side and around and make room, okay? You say, well, I've been prayed for before. You heard the testimony today. God, he's got everything under control, doesn't he, though? I said he's got everything under control today, doesn't he? Thank you, Lord.
How he loves us so. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us so. Sing oh, oh. How he loves us so. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us.
Some people that will just begin to pray right now, right where you're at. I need you to pray. I don't need you to, don't get tired, lunch away, whatever. This is a moment, this is a Father's Day that you'll never forget the rest of your life. Amen? Come on, I need you just to pray with me. Stand and pray, because God is working miracles in the house right now. He loves me. Come on, Daniel.